أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا وارفعوا شوكتكم يروس شوكتكم كبس. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Shout out to the remaining Athkar, there will be a short reminder, all brothers are requested to participate. Jazakumullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we are on this series where inshallah we are looking to increase and develop our level of taqwa بإذن الله تعالى. You can understand it in the sense like a battery charge. The more charge you get, then the level of percentage increase in our level of taqwa. And this comes through various, giving attention to different aspects of our deen. So the author, the Musannif over here, he is going through exactly this, where we have spoken about that in order to attain or start ascending the ranks in our level of taqwa, then focus should be given to our khuluq, our akhlaq, and the beginning point of this is to remove blameworthy traits. So just as a very quick recap, the few blameworthy traits that we've already gone through are actually five in total. So the first fundamentally was disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without this, of course, there's nothing to build upon. And then disbelief is of three categories. One is related to ignorance, kufrun jahli, and this is something which afflicts many Muslims. Unfortunately, we are living, our level of deen is a very surface level where it's just whatever we have been conveniently brought up with. Then this is our deen, not something very profound, and a lot of ignorance is prevalent there. Second type of disbelief is out of stubbornness and ignorance, and this is the example of the disbelief of the likes of Fir'aun and all these enemies of Islam, where they had places of authority and they did not want to submit and yield to a higher power. So they had a love of position, power. And love of position of power was the third disease of the heart. First, disbelief. Second was ignorance, jahl. Third is love of power and leadership. And also associated to this disbelief of the likes of Fir'aun, etc., is the fear of blame and criticisms from other people. Out of this fear, a person is now again wary that he's going to lose his position in society or his reputation. This is also the fourth type of illness of the heart that the author is mentioning. That, for example, the likes of Abu Talib, unfortunately, he did not bring Iman because of his fear that what will people say, that right at the moment of death, he abandoned the ways of his forefathers. And similarly, we mentioned the incident of Hiraqal as well. And then after, the third type of disbelief is the legal stipulation of committing an act of kufr. And this is boiled down to the matter of belittling aspects of deen, belittling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belittling the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, belittling the injunctions and the laws of Islam. And this again, the more we surround ourselves with people whose values are not closely connected to deen, this is monitor our blind-minded individuals, because the level of joking that takes place and the type of conversations that they engage in is very, very similar to non-Muslims, and they have no boundaries. Nothing is off limits in terms of ta'zim, right? Ta'zim refers to sanctity, respect, a huge aspect of our deen. This idea of respect and sanctity, you know, is coming down to such a degree, such a level, that even unfortunately, children, we are not showing our parents the level of respect that they deserve, because this concept, this understanding of respect is completely escaping our minds, unfortunately. So as parents, as guardians, inshallah, this is something that we should try to really develop. You know, so many misunderstandings take place. People, they assume that the practices that we have, you know, given our back, for example, putting our feet towards the Qibla. And other people, they will ask you, where's the dalil for the Quran verse? Where is the hadith for this specifically that we can follow, then if that's the case, then we will. But this is a general risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qibla is facing towards the Kaaba. So, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَهِيَ مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This is a very overarching verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, I believe, that whoever does ta'zeem, whoever does sanctification of the sha'air of Allah, the signs, the landmarks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is due to the taqwa of a person's heart. Because of his consciousness of what deserves respect, then he will do so. So if a person does so, sometimes you might have senior people, they might be stretching out their legs towards the Qibla. You know, they're not doing it in a particular way that they are trying to disrespect the Qibla or trying to disrespect the signs of Allah. You know, you can't also kind of be so forceful that, oh, subhanAllah, what you're doing is very, very sinful. At the same time, it's recommended. It's something that comes along with a person's level of intuition in that sense. So similarly, again, you find people from different cultures, when they pick up the mushaf, they might even put it on the ground, place it on the ground. They place it on the ground and they read and flip through the pages. And, you know, a lot of people, they will think that, subhanAllah, what kind of behavior is this? The Quran, the mushaf, you know, this is kalam of Allah. So similarly, we have, for example, in our culture, we have the rawal, don't we? We have this, and we place the Quran at this. So this is all aspects of showing ta'zeem of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something we should really, really definitely keep hold within. You know, sometimes when we start going on a path of learning a bit more about deen, again, where's the dalil, where's the Quran verse, where's this, where's that? You know, this sort of thing, it doesn't require a dalil in that sense, because